Hallelujah. All right. Well, you know how it is. My mind is captivated with these thoughts right here. So go ahead and open up to Romans 8, Galatians 5. We're not going to reteach this morning. We're going to mention it, and then we're going to go on a little bit. And I think the title I put on this morning's message was Walking in Christ's Lordship. See, what does it mean? When we all say Jesus is Lord. Well, first level of that is starting letting His nature take lordship over your daily walk. And really, at first level, I'm talking about is like Nathan was talking about, really when it comes to morality and walking above sin, because you don't need to know the deep mysteries of God. All you need to do is be born again. Because that nature that comes on the inside of us, it doesn't need to be taught. It's got much to learn. But it does not need to be taught when it comes to walking in righteousness. When it comes to morality, it already knows the Ten Commandments. It knows right from wrong. And it is a safe guide. And if you start deviating from what that new man, the new sheriff in town, y'all like that? I like that. You get born again, there's a new sheriff in town. But he's got, and he knows the law too. The law of God, and as long as you listen to Him and do what He says, which really Him is you, the real you, God is a spirit, you are a spirit because you're His child. So the soul has to listen to the new nature, and if it does that, then you're going to walk a moral life. You're going to walk righteous and holy, and that's really the first level of being led by the Spirit, as Romans 8 would say. So that's where we are, Romans 8, verse 13, we'll just... For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, and you know that's a little s, if you through the new nature do mortify the deeds of the body. Can I say it a little different? Stop sinning. Stop it. No matter whether it's little or big in the eyes of the world, you know. No matter if it's lies, no matter if it's thieving, no matter if it's... Nowadays, it would be pornography, it'd be internet fingers, it'd be all kinds of things, you know. But the new nature is a safe, righteous, holy guide. And your conscience, its job is if... Your conscience won't bother you as long as you listen to the new nature. But if you start not listening and start violating it, then that's what the conscience is for. And it's going, hey, you're going to the woodshed. That's it. That chastening that is mentioned in Hebrews 12. So that's the first level of leadership, is learning to listen to the new nature, the new sheriff in town, and mortify the deeds of the body. Now, this is a Sunday night class. You're the diehards of the diehards. So I'm not going to review a lot of things that I know you already know. You already know that God will walk through hell with you. He is long-suffering. As long as you don't start justifying, saying that it's okay when it's not okay, and as long as you don't stop doing those things permanently, because all of us stop occasionally. What are you talking about? Falling out of prayer, falling out of fasting, falling out of everything, you know, for seasons. But your hunger will draw you back. How many have found? No show of hands. Your hunger will draw you back, you know. So, and Rosie gave me a note, by the way. I see Rosie over here. She gave me a note which is perfect, and I didn't bring it with me. I'm sorry, but really, what we have to be careful of, if you focus on crucifying the flesh, you're going to have a lot more problem. That's not what the Bible says. Don't focus on that. What it says focus on is walking in the Spirit. If you focus on walking in the Spirit, you're going to find it a lot easier to keep the flesh crucified. That's the new sheriff in town. Listen to him. And really, that's where the power is anyway. It's in your spirit. Your soul is no match for that new man. I'll tell you right now, your soul is no match for that spirit man that's on the inside of you. You just have to start yielding to him. And that was Nathan's message. So if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, do mortify, put to death, stop the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that Spirit of God there should not be capitalized. You already know that. So it's a little S. It's talking about if you learn to be led by the new nature, the new sheriff in town. I've told you before, I'm hearing it again. I didn't know all of these things. That what Michael Muccio led me to the Lord. I was 33 years old. I was, you know, been an alcoholic for 10 years and had a, I was so proud of my pornography collection. You should have heard, no, you shouldn't have heard my language in those days. I mean, I was raised with a construction background and truck driving background. What do you think my language was like? Okay. You know, and, but as soon as I got born again, without anybody having to preach to me, this new sheriff in town began preaching from the inside. Yeah, well, that pornography's got to go. What? My soul. I remember the arguments going on between my soul and the new sheriff. Are you crazy? Do you know how much money we've got invested in this? I'm not getting rid of that. Well, yeah, you are. No, I'm not. And one of the other things that came during that very first few weeks is I read across the line in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, so forth, where it talks about faith and speaking to the mountain. I want all of that. But then he says, oh, and when you stand praying, forgive. And immediately he brought to my mind two people that I really had never forgiven, didn't even want to forgive. And this new voice, this, not, yeah, this, sir, okay, see that? Not, yes, sir. Now we're starting to go beyond the leadership of the new nature. Now you're starting to get tutoring that comes from the Holy Ghost. Because He knows what's wrong with you. You don't really know what's wrong with you. Why you keep making those same mistakes. Why you keep falling to the same sin. Why this and why that. But the Holy Spirit, He knows all those things, see. The first level of leadership is morality. The first level of leadership is listening to the new sheriff in town and learning to mortify the deeds of the body, which, by the way, normally is painful. It is normally painful. Crucifixion is hard. The body don't like it. It resists it. It will fight to its last breath as you put that rascal on the cross day by day. But that's where it has to be. So if you say, well, this is hard, well, you're probably doing it correct. You're probably doing it correctly, okay? But see, where we're going to go tonight is talking about, this is the first level of leadership. You don't even have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost for this. You don't have to speak in tongues for this. Every born-again believer has that new nature on the inside of them. That new nature alone is enough to change their walk, okay? Now, there is times with us where we have strongholds in the soul that have been built up over many years. And sometimes you don't know how to get past those. Well, thank God that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And He starts making intercession for you according to the will of God when you don't even know what to pray as you ought. He'll make intercession for you. He knows what's wrong with you. So I used to wonder, why can't I pray as I ought? Why? He says, because you don't know what's wrong with you. You think you need a new car. That's why Dave used to say, you think you need a new car. You need to ask God about a new car. And God's looking at you going, you need to quit yelling at your wife. He looks at things differently than we do. So the Holy Spirit, He'll go for the real problem and not the external things. Okay, getting back to this. Y'all know all that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, this is that first level of leadership. We're not talking about, Yeah, thou shalt go to China and thou shalt, your calling is this and that. We're talking about the very first primary, many call it the inner witness. You don't know it. Maybe you haven't been born again, but 5 minutes. But suddenly you're about to do some sin that you've been doing for 10, 20 years, however old you are. And now there's something on the inside saying, no, you can't do that anymore. That's the inner witness. You don't know, come here from Sikkim, knowledge wise yet. You haven't been taught nothing, but there's a new nature on the inside, and He is intending to put to death the deeds of the body if you'll follow Him. That is the first level of being led by the Holy Ghost. Okay. And even you can struggle for years with that. Don't ask me how I know that, but we all already know how I know that. But anyway, you can struggle for years with that. And you can actually get victory in a lot of areas. You know, I did get quickly victory over alcohol. I got victory over pornography. I got victory over a lot of things. My language started clearing up. There were other things that I didn't get victory on for years. Do you know he used me, though? He used me to a certain degree. And that's really where we're going to get to tonight, because we don't want to stay at the first level of leadership. We want to go to revival. We want to go all the way here, see. Well, He'll use you as much as He can, all the time that He can, because He loves people. He wants to see the lost saved. He wants to see the sick healed. He wants devils cast out. So he'll use us even as we're on this journey. But I'm pretty sure we can greatly assist him if we will learn how to yield completely, at least to this first level of leadership. Because we're all... Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Okay. He said review. All right. So that's interpretation. I'm telling you what he's telling me. I didn't finish the review and I'm trying to do the lesson. All right. Let's read those two verses. Then we're going to go to Galatians 5 if you want to start going there. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are, it's not, and again, that's that Greek word weos. It doesn't, I mean, a lot of people are born again and still not, they're not walking very much by the new nature, but they're born again on their way to heaven, but they're not ready. This word weos here is not a little baby in the crib. This is a young man about the age of bar mitzvah who is learning. He's at the age now of maturity where the parents say, okay, he's ready to participate in the family business. For us, the family business is revival. Amen? All right. So go over to Galatians 5. He said review. We're going to review. Paul says exactly the same thing, the same teaching over in Galatians. But because the Galatians did not grow up knowing the law, he words things quite differently to them than he did over here to the Romans. In Romans, back in chapter 7, you know he's talking to people that know the law, because in Romans 7:1, he says, now I speak to them that know the law. Okay, so that audience, they knew the law. This, the law of Moses. This group over in Galatians, they grew up worshiping idols. They don't know anything about the law. So he says the same teaching, but he gives a lot more detail. So Galatians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. See, the emphasis is not on crucify the flesh, is it? It's walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, he says, if you'll learn how to, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. But it's through the Spirit, see? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You could say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll keep the flesh on the cross. Can I say it that way? See? The emphasis is learn who you are. Learn what has happened to you. Walk that way, and you'll keep the flesh on the cross by doing that. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And oh, did not Nathan do a good job when he says, look, you think you can walk parallel with the flesh and the Spirit? They do not walk parallel. And that's what I was trying to get across with that word contrary. It means opposite. The flesh wants to go that away, and the Spirit wants to go that away, and those two are not going to walk together. One or the other is going to be on the cross every day. Amen? I like that. That was good. For the flesh lusts against the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary, opposite, opposing the one to the other. You're not going to be able to walk both of them and stay consistently in the plan of God. The flesh is going to lead you off so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, and now he's still talking about the new nature. He's not yet talking about the leadership of the Holy Ghost. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he starts giving some of the works of the flesh. These are pretty easy to understand. These are all fleshy things. And the thing that's amazing, you got to understand, he wrote this to born-again Christians. You got to understand, the flesh is still that way. See, I had a false impression for a long time. When it says over there in Romans 8 that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, somehow I got the idea that the law of sin and death was done away. No, it's not. It's still active. Trust me. Trust. The problem with the guy in Romans 7, he had no power to overcome it. Hey, you don't think your body will sin? Trust me, it will. That law of sin is still in there. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what made you free from that law of sin and death. You have something the guy in Romans 7 never had. You've got that new nature. You've got the very life of God. to put your foot right on the neck of the flesh and not let it do nothing. Amen? So if you're led of the Spirit, then you nature, you're not under the law. And then he lists all of these things. Then he starts listing love. So come on down to verse 24. They that are Christ's. I know a lot of people that are Christ's that have not crucified the flesh. This is the same teaching as over in Romans 8. What he's saying here, these people, they belong to him. They have sold out to him. They have learned how to walk by the new nature. And by that, they have learned how to crucify the flesh. Because crucifying the flesh is not a one-time event. It's a daily event. And in my life, it's a many times a day event. Okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, Nathan quickly read a prophecy that I think it's the Lord that it was left here where I can read it again to you. This did not come through me or Nathan. I think it came through Dave. I don't know for sure. If you want to look it up, it's at the DaveRoberson.org website. It doesn't have a title on it, except it has this number, PT000816B. And it's August 16th, the year 2000. Wow. A while back. And what he's really talking about here, I want to read it a little slower. Because my message tonight, I can just tell you ahead of time, then I'll tell you. We're wanting to not just stay at the entry level. Amen. That first level of how to be led by the Spirit. We need to get that over with, get that where it's in our dust, in our rearview mirror. Because what we're wanting to do is go on to be led by the Holy Spirit, not just the new nature. Well, to walk where God would lead you is in places where the flesh normally does not want to go. And to think that we're going to be able to hear Him. And again, I always say the hardest part of following the Lord, there's two parts to it. They're both kind of hard, but the easier of the two is learning to hear what He says. The harder part of the two is being dead enough to obey what He says. Okay. So I'm going to read this prophecy here. I'm going to read it a little slower. You have desired to know my voice. Can I get a witness? Are we at the right place here? You have desired to know my voice. You've desired to walk after me in the foremost way that I lead. And because you have been confused time after time and could not see the leadership of my Spirit, this I would say, says the Lord. Listen to the inner witness. For the inner witness, it is the first and the foremost way that I lead my children. Everybody starts out this way. Every born again child of God starts this way. You learn to listen to the new sheriff in town. And don't tell me he doesn't communicate. Now, you may not hear a voice. Nathan was going today, thou shalt not steal. I've never heard that yet. But boy, it communicates. You know, it's like your conscience. It communicates. You know. Uh-oh, can't do that. All right. Listen to the inner witness. For the inner witness is the first and foremost way that I lead my children. Listen to the inner witness. But oh, hear what the Spirit would say, that the inner witness works hand in hand with the conscience that I gave to you when you received a new nature. The reason most people quit hearing my voice in the form of the leadership of the inner witness is that they sear their conscience. Because they decided to walk a certain way, and they walk that way, and they walk that way until their conscience is seared. You remember from Dave's teachings, those of you that's heard the series, all of those teachings, he says, that place in you where you hear your conscience, he said, that is the same door that the Holy Spirit speaks through. The same place where you hear Him like that. So if you sear that door, not only is it hard to hear that inner witness anymore, you know, you don't feel guilty about it anymore. But then you go, oh, I want to hear God. I want your leadership. And you yourself have shut the door. You nailed tuba sixes over it. I don't want to feel guilty about my sin anymore. I'm going to keep doing what I want. Oh, but I want to hear you, God. I want to hear the leadership you have for me, but I'm not going to quit sinning. But it's that same place. It's that same door. And if you keep that door nailed shut, put tuba sixes over it, weld it. What does it mean to you? But then you go, well, I don't know why I can't hear God. Well, so he's explaining that. So let me read that sentence again. The reason most people quit hearing my voice in the form of the leadership of the inner witness is that they sear their conscience because they decided to walk a certain way, and they walk that way and walk that way until their conscience is seared, and then they say, oh, I want your direction. I would have your direction. But my direction cannot come because it is your conscience that I use in the inner witness, says the Lord. But return. Return to the prayer life that you had when you edified yourself above those things. For no man can walk with the seared conscience and continue in the edification process that I have given him. Because you'll come out. Your conscience will wake back up, and my leadership will be sure. Oh, I like that. My leadership will be sure along with my wisdom, says the Lord. So here, one of the most valuable things you have is to be able to turn left when I say turn left, or turn right when I say turn right, to go forward when I say go forward, and to leave this alone and pick this up. For you can be successful on just where I lead you alone, much less the victories that I have in store for you, says the Lord. Go to Acts 16. I'll never forget when this passage came alive to me. In the early days, listening to Pastor Dave, and so desiring to hear the Lord's voice. And Sue and I, again, we had already been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for 12 years, the day that we walked through the prayer center. And I've been an ordained minister since 1986. We started here in 1992. I'd marry and bury people for all those years and preach here and there. And we got involved in all kinds of things. We did prison ministry. We did Bible studies. We did all kinds of outreaches. We just whatever came along. But be honest, I didn't know very much about hearing the Lord's leadership. What we would do then, trying to serve the Lord, whatever would kind of come available, that's what we would do. And we got very busy for the Lord. And good things happen. I mean, he'll use anything you give him. Okay? He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward, okay? But I knew that most of what I was doing is just, I was doing, you know. And Dave kept talking about the leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost. See, now first, what we've been talking about up till this point tonight is the leadership that comes by the new nature. But he can only lead you The primary way that he leads you is when it comes to morality. And the reason is, your new nature is you. Dave says it this way, it's a person. And that new nature now, it's born in righteousness and holiness. It knows all of that. But it's a person. And it doesn't know information outside of itself. But the Holy Ghost is completely different. He's a different person, and he's God. And he knows everything. So even in the early days, if you really learn to listen to the new nature and walk by it, and you're walking holy best you know how, and you haven't seared that conscience at all, well, maybe you're not yet developed where you hear the Lord's voice, but he sees you about to make a mistake. Now, your new nature doesn't know a mistake. I like how Nathan said it. It's evil cloaked in good. Evil could be Mr. or Mrs. Good-looking. Could be a business decision that looks perfect. But it's really evil cloaked in good. But you don't have any way of knowing that. But see, if you keep that conscience clear, and the Holy Spirit is trying to give you direction, even if you're not hearing His voice, you're not hearing the actual words, what He'll do, you start getting that, that something in your gut, something deeper than your reasonings. There's something in you saying no. Or you might get a peace like, I don't even know why this is okay, but it's okay. I don't know why it's okay, but it is okay. Now, this is assuming that you're praying and fellowshipping and spending time with the Lord. And He'll lead you that way through that inner witness. I think Dave said it this way. He says that for you women that are soaking, I'm going to marry Mr. Good-looking, you know, and the Holy Ghost is looking down the road and He's going, no, three babies later, you'll be the one with the job and paying for all of his bills. You know, the guys are no good. So the Holy Ghost is trying to rescue you, see? And you don't know why. He looks right. He talks right. His lips are like no other. You know, all of the emotions are yes, yes, yes. And the Holy Ghost is going, no, no, no. And you can't, you don't know why, but there's something down in your knower. Dave says, the Holy Ghost goes crazy with that inner witness. And you know that He's saying no. You know that He's saying, you may not know why, but you know that He's saying no. Well, learn to walk by that. That is another, especially in the beginning, that's another really valuable reason for keeping the conscience clear. Walk by that new nature so you recognize those things. But see, there's a leadership way beyond that. That's the leadership where every single person in the sound of my voice is going. I'm saying that by faith. I'm saying that for Gary. You can find it right here in Acts 16. Now here's Paul and Silas, and they had finished the assignment that they had been on. They don't know what God wants them to do next. Has anyone ever been there? You know, you love God, you've served God, but that's over now. And what do you want to do now? You know, what's next? So, we'll pick it up here in Acts 16, verse 6. This is Paul and Silas. Now, when they had gone throughout, and again, forgive me for my Oklahoma mispronunciation of these words, but you can still get the truth. Just listen. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. We're not told if He heard a voice. We're not told if He saw a vision. We're not told if it was just an inner witness on this one. But they sure got the message. And it wasn't a holy suggestion. Forbidden is a strong word. Forbidden. They were forbidden. I mean, not just, I shouldn't say that. It's not a suggestion of no. It's really no. Okay? So, verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they assayed. They were weighing in their mind like weighing out the gold. They assayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, and this should be a capital S, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. He did not allow that. They, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now see, it's not always a voice. This time it's a vision. You know, I think even I would get this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if I'm asking God, where do you want me to go? And He's already said, do you want me to go to Asia? No. You want me to go to Bithynia? No. And you just keep praying and get quiet and seek the Lord. Now it says a vision in the night. So whether it was really, whether He was awake and saw a vision or whether it was a dream, I'm not sure. Either way, I think even I would get it. If a guy stands up and he's dressed, you know he's Macedonian. And then he says in this vision, come over into Macedonia. I'm pretty sure even I would get that. Now the question of it is, would you be dead enough to do it? See? And especially, now I'm going to have to really skip over a lot. You guys know what happened. You're the Sunday night crowd. They got there. They started doing evangelistic work. The first one they met, I think, was Lydia and her household. She was a lady who dealt in purple and got her household saved. But they come eventually to that fortune-telling girl. And she was doing it by the power of a devil. And she would say, "These men are sent from God to show us the way of salvation," or something like that. At first, Paul waited. He waited on the leadership of the Lord. But finally, he cast that devil out of her. And it really went out of her. And she couldn't do any more what she had done before. And there were businessmen that had been making money off of that girl. So you touch the money, you're going to rile up the devil. So anyway, you know what happens? They get thrown. I mean, they didn't steal, they didn't rob, they didn't pillage, they didn't do anything wrong. All they did was obey God, go to Macedonia, start preaching the gospel. They're getting people saved and did exactly what Jesus said, "In my name you'll cast out devils." Have they done anything wrong? But then this controversy comes. They get thrown into prison and their backs are beaten. Look at, come on down to verse 22, Acts 16, 22. "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." Now, wait a minute. You went to that prayer center? You listened to Pastor Dave. You got all those tapes. You learned how to meditate the Word. You learned how to fast, how to pray in tongues, how to hear His voice. You even started mortifying the flesh, you know. Excuse me. You'd fast and pray, and you got past this stronghold, and you got past that stronghold. And man, I'm going to listen. I'm going to not only listen to the new nature, I'm going to get to the place where I can follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And finally, he says, come over into Macedonia and you do exactly that. And you lead where you follow right where the Holy Spirit leads you. And you get there and you evangelize the lost and you cast out a devil. And what's your reward? Verse 22. "The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had many stripes, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now, I've tried to meditate. I have meditated this passage till my meditator rolled out on the floor, I'm telling you. Now, I know it says their feet were in the stocks, but when I meditate this thing, I think about the old English stocks. You've seen those where their head goes through and their hands go through. This is kind of humorous, but I think it fits a lot of Christians, you know. Here, all they've done is obey God. They heard God. They obeyed God. They evangelized. They cast out a devil. And now their backs are all bloody. Can you imagine the pain? And they're there in these stocks. Here's Paul and Silas. And I just had this image. Silas looks over to Paul. "Had a vision, did you?" Most of us would be whining and complaining and, "Oh, where is my hundredfold return? And oh, I have obeyed God. Where is my blessing? And isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? Isn't that where most of us, oh God, oh God, oh God. Deliver me, O God." So then comes an earthquake. And you know they heard the story about how God got Peter out of prison. You know they heard that story. That had to be a famous thing that traveled through all the Christian lands. You know, I mean, everybody that was a Christian knew that story, how God sent an angel to get Peter out of prison. So here you are in that condition. Now, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Now we're talking about the second level, the higher level, where you're not only led by the new nature, that's the first level, but now you're being led by the Holy Ghost. They are there because that's where Jesus wants them to be. Boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one now. That's not going to fit your Best Life Now book, I'm telling you right now. It's not going to fit. You're not going to be able to insert that into any chapter anywhere. Okay? Sorry. They're there because that's where Jesus wants them to be. And so then an earthquake comes. Now, I know Gary really well, that guy. He got Peter out of prison. Look at this. Look at here. He sent an earthquake, Silas. Shook all the doors open. We can just walk out of here. I guarantee you, Gary would have probably booked it right on out of there. Okay, I'm booking it. We're gone. But they didn't leave. And for the longest time, I did not understand. This was a higher level of leadership. It took the Holy Ghost forever to get this one across to me. I'm thinking, how in the world did Paul know not to leave? And for the longest time, I didn't know. So let's pick it up in verse 25. Now, 25 is what you do if you're really mature. And you don't just worship God on the days when there's a chicken in the pot and gas in the car and money in the bank and your wife loves you and your husband loves you and the dog's being nice and the children are obeying, you know. You don't just worship God that day. No, it's when you've obeyed God and you've evangelized the lost and you've cast out devils and you got beaten for it and now you're in the prison and they're going to prosecute you and everything that can go wrong is going wrong. And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. This was not silent prayer. My religion is very private. Oh, get over yourself. No, they sang praises unto God, and I'm sure the prisoners thought they were nuts. Here these guys are beaten and their backs bloody, and they are praising God, singing. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And I know if it had been me there, I'd be booking it, man. I'm gone. Last thing you see is my shirt tail going over the ridge. I'm gone, man. You know? And the keeper of the prison thought they'd be gone. See verse 27? The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came. Now, this is important. That light is there for a reason. They didn't have electricity. They got some kind of a torch, and so get the picture. This jailer, the main head guy, you know, every prisoner that goes to prison does not get to meet the warden. Just because you went into the prison, you didn't necessarily get to meet the warden, right? They never saw this guy before. He's the head guy. But suddenly now, if you get this image, it's dark, midnight, a little after midnight, and they hear this voice. And Paul says, don't hurt yourself, we're all here. He lights a light. That's in there for a reason. Now get the picture. Here he comes with his face coming in that dark cell, lit, where Paul can see the face. Paul can see the face. And for years I didn't understand. Now watch what happens here. I'll tell you about the light in a minute. Then came a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him all the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Now, for years I'm going, God, how did Paul know not to leave? And finally it dawned on me. Paul would look at Silas and go, "We can't leave yet. I have not yet seen the man that God showed me in the vision. I haven't seen him yet. And until we see him, our assignment is not over." And this guy, this head guy, the warden, he has a light. It's dark and his face, he comes into the cell with that light is lighting his face as he comes in. And Paul looks at Silas and goes, "There's the man. There's the man that I saw." God, get us to where we have leadership like that. Where we have leadership like that. And I want you to know that house out there, do you know this is the start of the church at Philippi? This is the beginning of that church, that man and his house. Paul later wrote to the Philippians, he said, "No other church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent time and again to meet my necessity. This little church right here, where it had its beginning right here, became the financial base for Paul's ministry for the next 15 years. You don't think God has a plan? God has a reason for everything He does? He has a plan. God intended, He had this whole thing planned out, but He had to have somebody, not only that, you know, we're not at the level now of, oh God, He wants me to quit envying. He wants me to forgive so and so. Now they really hurt me. I don't know if I'm going to forgive, you know. Variance, emulation, hatreds. Well, He wants me to stop gossiping. And I like gossiping. Or that, let's pick on Gary Knight. He wants me to give up some of my football. He didn't want me sitting there all day Saturday. Oh, the persecution. I don't know if I can take it. And He's trying to lead us somewhere like this. And we shut the door by our conscience. Disobey, 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 disobey. Lead me, God. I can't get Gary to give up an hour of football to pray. And He wants me to use him like I use Paul? Come on now, is right. That's the perfect commentary right there. Come on now. Let's get real. Let's get real time. Huh? We wonder what the problem is. See, the first level of leadership is let the sheriff take dominion. Let the Lord Jesus have dominion over these bodies. That's level number one. Level number two is let Him have dominion over your life. Your agenda is over. What you intended is over. What if God says, we're always going, I want every detail. God, tell me every detail. I'll act just as soon as I know exactly what's going to happen. Okay, let's just see how well this would work. Okay, I'm going to send you to Philippi. You're going to lead Lydia and her family to the Lord. You're going to cast a devil out, but then they're going to arrest you. They're going to beat you. They're going to put so many stripes on your back, you're going to look like hamburger meat. Then I'm going to throw you in the jail. And then you're going to lead this jailer to the Lord. That's my plan. What do you think? Most of us? What? You're going to do what? What? I was reading this book, and you can get it on Amazon. It's called The Heavenly Man. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not saying I agree with every single thing in that book, but this guy, he was a little Chinaman guy, got born again in China during the time when the persecution on Christians was really tough, and they were doing home churches. Long story short, he got arrested, much like Paul, wound up in prison. They broke his bones so many times that God later had to supernaturally heal him, that prisoners would have to carry him to go eat or anything. And he's laying there all crumpled one time. And this goes on for years. I mean, it's what happens to him is just unbelievable. I nearly had to throw the book away. Because at one point, he's just all crumpled. And even him, I mean, he's a very courageous young guy at the time. And he's going, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't understand this, Lord. And he says in the book, the Lord said to him, this is my will for you. I had a hard time. I nearly went out the window. But then I remembered Paul and Silas. Backs bleeding. In the prison. And it was the will of God. That same guy later, he started a revival in the prisons that became a house movement. Now, I'm not saying it's all based on him. There was others. But this guy was one of the main leaders. Did you know today in China, there are more Christians than there are people in the United States of America? We only have about 300 million. There are more than 300 million Christians in China. And virtually all of them came from those home cell groups, not the organized church. Isn't that something? So their message tonight is, if there's any areas, and he's talking to me as much as he's talking to you, and we all know there's areas. I mean, he just recently, you know, he dealt with me about the football and about the news. So there's still little foxes that are spoiling the vine here, see? So he's, whatever areas where he's dealing with us, can we get on with it? Let's get on with it. Let him deal with that. Let's get past that. Because we need to be about our Father's business. We need to have our bar mitzvah. And if that's his will, then so be it. Whatever he wants, you know. Our lives don't belong to us. So this is the leadership of the Spirit beyond the leadership of the new nature. And he's calling us there. But we're going to have a really hard time hearing and obeying that if we can't even deal with the flesh. So dealing with the flesh is level one. That's that level of the, that's Romans 8, 13 and 14, where you learn to be led by the new nature to do what? Mortify the deeds of the body. That's level one. That's the entry level to his leadership. That's when you become the bar mitzvah. Now he says, okay, now you're ready for the family business. Let me give you a little harder assignment. Your flesh may not like that either. But the thing of it is, it will no longer dominate you because you've learned how to put it on the cross. Did you get anything out of that? You understand where we're going? Praise God. Hallelujah. It starts just like that prophecy. Just, he said, just start praying again. And if you've been walking in an area where you have even seared your conscience, if you will just return to that prayer life, I will wake up that conscience again. And you'll have opportunity now to deal with the flesh where you never dealt with it before. Isn't that good stuff? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.